every holiday season, there's one toy everyone has to have.
I want the Turbo Man action figure with the arms and legs that move, and the Rock and Roller jetpack, and the boomerang shooter.
Getting it is every child's dream.
Whoever doesn't can be a real loser.
Finding it.
You got the doll, right?
Is this father's nightmare.
I'll get that toy. I promise.
Whoa! Nothing like waiting till the last minute, Howard, sir.
Especially on Christmas Eve.
Welcome into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule of the podcast is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Today's movie is Jingle All the Way, which is rated a 5.7 on IMDb. So, to give you guys a little bit of behind the scenes, I picked a Christmas movie, and Rob picked a Christmas movie. I picked Four Christmases. We did that a couple episodes ago. Be sure to go back and check that out. And Rob is here to do Jingle All the Way. You only show up for the big podcast, my brother.
I mean, if it's big time, I'm here. Jingle All the Way is absolutely big time. I love this movie. I cannot believe it's beneath the six.
Is this your favorite Christmas movie?
No, but there's a nostalgia element to it. I saw it in theaters when I was a kid, so I liked it. And I think it's still fun and funny. Like, I think Four Christmases is better. I think Elf is better. I think, you know, Christmas Vacation is better. There are better Christmas movies, but this one is like nostalgia fun, should be above a six.
Let me give you the plot for this movie. A father vows to get his son a Turbo Man action figure for Christmas. However, every store is sold out and he must travel all over town and compete with everybody in order to find one. This movie was released November 22nd of 1996, has a runtime of 89 minutes. Listen to this. The budget was somewhere between 60 and 70 $5 million. This movie made $130 million in the box office. Where is $75 million going for this movie?
Oh, the cast. This is an expensive cast. You got Arnold Schwarzenegger, you got Sinbad, you got Phil Hartman, and Rita Wilson is the girl. And I'm double checking here. I think Rita Wilson's married to Tom Hanks. Yeah, she's married to Tom Hanks' wife. So the three biggest stars on the marquee are all very expensive stars.
I did learn this. I did not know this. It makes sense given the fact that it is like one toy everybody wants. The inspiration for this came from Cabbage Patch Dolls. You know, they were very popular in the mid-90s. People wanted Cabbage Patch Dolls. That is the inspiration for this movie. Also, another point that originally the plan was to cast Joe Pesci as Myron. You know, he plays the foil in Home Alone. Mm-hmm. They ended up going with Sinbad. Great choice to me to go with Sinbad. This movie works because of that cast that you're mentioning, and really three people. It works because of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sinbad, and Phil Hartman. Those three guys were phenomenal in their roles.
Absolutely. All of them were perfectly cast. I also think, further than that, and we'll talk about the podcast, SNL guy Phil Hartman plays the neighbor. He has a Ned Flanders type of thing, but also kind of devious and on the low trying to get with the wife. Like, I think every casting in this movie is fantastic, which is why it works. Honestly, I think maybe the worst casting was Arnold, because Arnold has to play the never-at-home husband, and you don't look at Arnold like that. He's more action hero, but he had to get into the suit and the whole deal, so it kind of works out.
Let me give you the cast really quickly. We've gone through it a little bit. Arnold Schwarzenegger is Howard Langston / Turbo Man. Sinbad is Myron. He also is Dementor. Phil Hartman is Ted, the next-door neighbor. Reader Wilson is Liz Langston. Jake Lloyd is Jamie Langston. That is the son in this movie. The box office for November 22nd of 1996, Star Trek First Contact debuted at number one at $30.7 million. Space Jam was in the theaters.
Wow.
That was at number two. Ransom was number three with $13 million. Jingle All the Way debuted at $12 million. And The Mirror Has Two Faces was also number five. I'm going to make an executive decision and tell you number six, Set It Off. One of my favorite hood classics.
Only reason that made number six is because you mentioned it, but go ahead.
Yeah, I love Set It Off. That movie is number six on the list. I think this movie holds up so well. It's sort of the same concept of Christmas Story. Every kid has their Red Ryder BB gun. Every kid has their Turbo Man action figure that you really wanted. I never really had a toy per se that wasn't like a video game console. You know what it was. Every Christmas, there was a game you really wanted or a console you really wanted. So I never maybe really had a toy like that. But I remember I was a little older. Man, I really wanted a throwback jersey. You were never going to get a throwback jersey randomly in October. There was one time that you could ask for a throwback jersey. I didn't care which one it was. You could have got me a basketball one. You could have got me a hockey jersey. All the rappers were wearing them. Man, when I opened up that box and I had that Earl Campbell Houston Oilers throwback jersey, oh, man, it was the best Christmas I ever had.
I didn't ever have the singular toy. My parents told me this story. I don't remember it, but I was a kid. That one year on Christmas Eve, I just casually mentioned, I can't wait to get a bike tomorrow. And it's the first time I ever mentioned that. And my parents, you know, rummaged around, eventually ran to the store and got me a bike. I think why this movie works, connecting that story to this, is this movie as an adult seeing it, I understand the stress giving a kid a great Christmas is. I don't have kids of my own, but like, you know, I'm recently married, so I got younger nieces and nephews now. There is a stress of, and you see it, oh, the kid really wants X. Well, in 1996, to get X was not just pop up on Amazon. It was, you had to go to Toys R Us. You had to wait in a line. You had to hope they had it. And I think this movie shows like, the kid wanting the perfect Christmas and the stress that is putting on the parents. So it works on both an adult and kid level.
Yeah, I feel like the stress of Christmas has somewhat been eliminated. Now, there are always items. Like, if you wanted a PlayStation 5 a couple of years ago, you were just not walking into Best Buy to get one. But now with the internet, for the most part, especially if you have the means, and the movie makes you feel like, hey, Arnold's doing well, they live in a nice neighborhood. Maybe you wouldn't have got it for box price. You know, it's a $30 item and you would have spent $110 on it. Now, you just would have went to Amazon. You would have went to Craigslist. You would have went to Facebook. You would have paid for somebody else's Christmas, but you would have made sure that your little one had the Turbo Man action figure.
Yeah, it doesn't work as well now, but you do see that stress of my kid really wants X. I have to make sure. Now, that stress sometimes nowadays is the financial one. It's the, hey, it's a $25 gift. It ain't at Best Buy right now, so I am going to hit Facebook Marketplace and pay $45 for it. I'm paying a tax, but it's getting done. In 96, it was, where can I find this? And, you know, nowadays, you can go online and be like, there's Amazon, Walmart.com, Target.com. They're all right there, whatever you're looking for. Back in the day, you had to drive to the stores, and finding out that store has it was a lot of word of mouth, which is not the case anymore.
100%. I have had a couple of Christmas items like this. I remember Hatchimals were a big deal. Mm-hmm. I flipped a couple of Hatchimals. You also remember there was a time there it was really hard to get the Nintendo Wii. It was really, it felt like
there was a moment. Yeah.
It was like a year it felt like. This also happened during COVID. I don't know if you remember because I ended up getting my sister one during this time. As her graduation gift, the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. The Switch was really hard to kind of find for a time, even long after it had come out. So we still have these items for Christmas. It's just maybe like to your point, you know, we grew up with the Tickle Me Elmo and the Cabbage Patch Dolls that inspired this, that, you know, that was the it toy. I remember one year I got the Talk Boy. Remember from Home Alone 2, the little Talk Boy. I got the Talk Boy. And man, I, you know, now growing up and my mom telling the stories about how hard it was to find that toy. This is a real thing.
Yeah, it's 100% a thing that used to happen. It, like you said, it still kind of does happen, but not to the same extent. So that's probably one of the reasons I still look back fondly at this movie is like when I was five, this is what, when I saw the movie, this is what finding a toy looked like. It was maybe not bomb threat to a radio station, but it was efforting to make sure you got said item.
Our movie begins with Turbo Man saving the day and Arnold working the day away when he's supposed to be heading to the little man's karate class. Despite his last-ditch effort to be on time, he misses his son's performance. The little man is understandably upset at his father missing his class and is now giving him the cold shoulder. To make it up to him, Arnold agrees to get him the number one toy on his list, a Turbo Man action figure, but there's just one problem. He forgot to pick it up, and it's Christmas Eve, and the darn thing is sold out across town. This goes along with the theme of what we were just talking about. You don't show up on the 23rd of December like, oh, I'm gonna get a PlayStation 5.
No, man,
that was a November issue you should have been trying to solve early December. Once you get to that point, hey, you better get that little one Connect Four and you better live with whatever we got here until we get it. There is no on Christmas Eve you decide to get the Tickle Me Elmo doll. That time has passed.
I also think this, again, it's a fast movie. It's not even 90 minutes, but this scene does kind of lay the groundwork for, I don't want to say issues in the and Rita Wilson and Arnold Schwarzenegger's relationship, but it shows that he has not been prioritizing family. He was supposed to get the Turbo Man. He finds out, whoops-a-doodle, I forgot. He now is screwed. He also missed the karate thing for working on Christmas Eve. Like, it's not like he was, and we presume he's like, you know, a business guy. It's not like he has some, it's not like he's a FedEx driver and he has to work on New Year, Christmas Eve, excuse me. So like this really shows the thing of he's been prioritizing the wrong things and now he has to chase down to kind of make up for it.
You made this point yesterday when we were talking about the movie and kind of getting ready to do this podcast is another reason that this movie works so well is Ted.
Yep.
Ted is the perfect Christmas movie villain.
Mm-hmm.
He's the next door obnoxious, corny neighbor that's trying to come in and sleek on your wife and cookies and the star and caroling. Phil Hartman plays Ted beautifully.
Ted?
Howard! Hey, buddy! How's it going out there? Everything okay?
Yeah, fine. Ted, I need to speak to Liz. Could you get...
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What a... Who told you you can eat my cookies?
I'm just helping Liz out a little in the kitchen. She's making up a storm here.
Ted, I need to speak to my wife. So could you get her on the phone, please?
I think she's in the shower, Howard. Do you want me to go check?
No! I mean, no, that's fine. On your way out, just tell her we'll be a few minutes late, but she shouldn't worry.
Oh, she won't worry. I mean, I'm here and... Oh, these cookies! I gotta get the recipe from Liz.
Put that cookie down! Now!
He is, honestly, Phil Hartman was one of the funnier people. It's a tragedy we lost him societally, but he plays that Ned Flanders hokey-dokey neighbor character perfect because he is everything Arnold isn't. He's around for Christmas. He's locked in. His house is like the Griswold house. It's done to a 10. He has the petting zoo at one point. He's got the cookies done. He is filling the gap that Arnold has created by being the workaholic. And that is his way to try to slide in and get with Rita Wilson. He's a villain, but he also is like just such a good dude that like you can't see him as a true villain because Sinbad's the villain, but Phil Hartman is also the villain.
What was the more egregious act? Was it putting the star on the tree or was it eating the Christmas cookie?
Star. The star is a family event. Like, it is not something that, not just like, it's one thing it's like, hey, you know, it's the kid's year, it's my year, what, you know, it's one thing if like his wife did it, but that is an outside person in his home doing the marquee moment on the tree. That is first class offense.
That might be, honestly, if we're doing like family rituals, that might be the number one seed, like in my
home. Everyone has, by the way.
So my grandmother, rest in peace, she had like these angel action figures.
Mm-hmm.
So when she passed, my mom kept one of those, and every year at the top of the tree, we together put that in just mm-hmm. a cool way for us to remember our grandmother. Man, if somebody, a new dude, came over and put that on there, me and him would have a serious altercation. Nah, man, that's not how we get down here.
To make it worse, like, so I helped my in-laws their tree this year, just, you know, joining in on family traditions.
Sure.
That's just kind of how you do it. It'd be one thing as I'm now married into their family if I did the star. It'd be another thing if it, like, the neighbor boy that has been hitting on the daughter. That makes even, it's not like he was an added member and they're trying to blend. It was like he was using it as a scheme to get with the mob. Just sick work.
Arnold goes out to look for the Turbo Man doll and we meet Myron, the half-office rocker mailman in line at the local toy store. They rush the store when the store opens, but of course the toy has been sold out for weeks. Everyone laughs.
What's this? These guys are looking for a Turbo Man?
A gentleman doll, yes.
They're looking for Turbo Man.
Hey, everybody. These two are looking for a Turbo Man.
Shut up, man.
Now, what's so funny? Where have you guys been? Turbo Man's only the hottest selling Christmas toy ever. But you know what? We got plenty of Turbo Man's faithful saber-tooth tiger booster.
I like this scene a lot. Mm-hmm. With the bouncing ball and them laughing and the running bit of Booster. Nobody wants Booster. You want to play with Sonic. You don't want mm-hmm. Tails. I love the running bit of Booster. I love this scene at the toy store with the rush and the lines and him kind of getting shuttled away.
Honestly, it's also funny because like you mentioned it, I thought it was funnier as an adult than as a kid. everyone laughing at the people rushing in. You thought you were going to get Turbo Man today? What are you guys, nuts? It is just, they are making fun of the fact that they're so late to the game, which is, we talk about current day Christmas shopping. As much as it's different now and you don't really have that toy you can't get, it's still that way now. You can't really get the it thing for your kid that late in the game. Now, nowadays, it's because of shipping. Like, you can't get it to you by, but like, you have to be ahead of the game on Christmas shopping. And these two just being so far behind is what makes it really funny.
And it goes in line with what you just said, that Ted got it in November.
Yeah,
Ted,
he was
prepared for all of this stuff.
It was like, I don't think it was Thanksgiving. And he's like, I got my Turbo Man. I'm ready to roll.
And Arnold is waiting until the absolute last minute. I mean, you only got about 7 seconds left on the clock and you're down 8 here. Mm-hmm. You ain't winning this game.
Nope.
Arnold is finally putting in the work to try and find the toy, but is having no luck. Back on the block, Ted is trying to cozy up with Howard's old lady Liz, and he's eating up all the Christmas cookies. Back out on the Turbo Man trail, we meet back up with Myron, who wants to team up to look for the action figure, but Howard is reluctant. They get word that there's a late drop-off for a Turbo Man at a local store, and all chaos breaks out at the store as they have the most unorderly lottery system ever. I will never forget this. So I have done my share of midnight releases,
Black Friday,
video games, new iPhone. Mm-hmm. I just love the rush of it. I also, you know, it's a big thing to say you got it first, right? So this was, and people that collect shoes remember this, this was the Space Jam release, maybe like in 09. So this is the dead of winter. And we get there early, and as more people start coming, man, I grabbed a sheet of paper and a pencil, and I started making my own line. Like, nah, man, because I already know how it's going to be. People going to get here at the very last minute. They're going to try to push toward the front. Nah, man, if we keep to a system here, the 20, 25 people that are in line,
we're a team.
We can make sure we get our payers, because you know how it is. People are going to come late, push toward the front, and now you about to be asked out because you didn't do it. It was some pushback, but eventually people came up and like, yeah, this was the best way to do it. Yeah, we got here before you got here. You're not just showing up in the last 5 minutes because you're bigger than everybody, going to push to the front of the line and now get a size 12, man. Nah, that ain't about to fly today.
It reminded me of, and it's not a positive memory, I feel like when we were like teenagers into high school, every year there'd be a news story. So-and-so horrible accident takes place at Black Friday. Because Black Friday used to be just chaos. It used to be Best Buy opens the doors, pushing and shoving match, people fighting for TVs. That's what this scene basically was. It was a glimpse into the future of what a Black Friday sale used to look like, because this is a melee for a toy. That's basically what this becomes.
After another failed attempt, Howard runs into a mall Santa who seems to be selling Turbo Man on the low. We go to some sort of underground toy warehouse where the fake Santa and his other holiday goons are trying to rip Howard off with the broken Espanol version of Turbo Man, and they do this until the cops bust out the joint. I do give the movie this. You mentioned that it was awkward to see Arnold Schwarzenegger in these roles. They did put Arnold Schwarzenegger in some Arnold Schwarzenegger situations.
They did a good job of that.
This scene where he gets into the fist fight with the Big Show, he punches the reindeer, something that would never happen in a movie today, that you are striking an animal, when he gets to be Turbo Man at the end of it. They did try to put Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has the limited range as an actor, they tried to put him in situations and scenario for him to succeed.
I think where the movie works for Arnold is exactly what you just said. They let him kind of be an action star within a non-action movie. Where it kind of doesn't work with Arnold is the moments where he has to be like the regular schmo. I'm supposed to believe this 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", however tall he is, former bodybuilder is just go into his regular day-to-day overworkaholic job. I don't believe that. So when he gets into the fights, when he has the Turbo Man thing at the end, that's when he gets to thrive, because he gets to be Arnold Schwarzenegger in a movie where you didn't usually have an Arnold Schwarzenegger type of role.
Back in the neighborhood, Ted has everyone outside to see his pet reindeer and eat more of the neighbor's Christmas cookies. Howard continues to build his case for Father of the Year with arguing with his son over the phone. He is now bonding with Myron with drinks at a diner over Christmas Pass. While doing this, they hear on the radio that they are giving a Turbo Man doll away. All you need to do is know all seven of the reindeer. Well, the phone lines ain't working, so Arnold runs down to the radio station to win the contest in person. Myron is sick of losing. He's been losing to Howard all day, and he has a bomb, and he is threatening to blow the place down if he doesn't get the Turbo Man. Well,
you can't just
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen.
What?
You see, I couldn't get through on the phone. Did it win?
Oh, no, it's not that simple! Wait.
You're too late. I already got the right answer. I won.
Yeah. I don't need the right answer to win. I got this!
Now, what's that?
This, Master Trackstar, is a homemade explosive device.
A bomb?
Yes, in layman's terms, a bomb! So back up!
You built a bomb?
No, I didn't have to build a bomb. Don't you read the news? Hundreds of these things come to the mail every day. I just kept one in case I ever needed it. So give me the doll! I'm gonna blow up everybody in this place!
The joke is on them, as the gift is actually a Turbo Man gift certificate.
Mm-hmm.
What a terrible radio promotion. We work in radio. Yeah. This is what we do. You can't tell me on Christmas Eve we got a Turbo Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know this is the hottest toy on the block.
Correct.
And now it's a gift card for a future Turbo Man? Nah, man. I don't know who thought this promotion out. Terrible promo.
It's a terrible promo, but I'll say this. And maybe this is like the adult in me. I saw this part and I'm like, if you won the gift card and you can guarantee your child a Turbo Man in whatever timeline, because by the 27th, things will probably calm down. It's not the worst thing to get. Like, it's not as good as Turbo Man, but you're telling me you would turn that down the way those two did? It's not a suitable replacement, but it's diet soda version of it.
You were a kid, though.
That's fair.
If you're a kid and you're 9 years old and under the tree, we're telling you you're going to get your favorite toy on the 29th. You know it don't hit the same. You know it doesn't hit the same. That's unacceptable. You cannot have that gift as a kid. I think this is the second best scene in the movie behind the ending. Arnold runs up there, breaks the glass. They're going back and forth. I've seen that radio guy. I can't think of who his real life name is, but he's definitely been in other movies.
Yeah, he's in other stuff. I don't know his actual name. He's like, a bit actor, but you see him in things.
And the way that Sinbad is selling it, he's crazy. He's shaking the packages. He calls that one cop Barnaby Jones, and the place actually blows up. Mm-hmm. If I had to rank the scenes, the ending is perfect for this movie. It's a perfect ending. I would say that this is the second best scene in the film.
Back up! This is a homemade explosive device, and I'll blow it up! You know why? Because I work for the post office, so you know I'm not stable! Tell him!
This man is totally insane.
Thank you! Now put the guns down. Now! Put them down! Brother man, put your gun down. Everybody! You too, Barnaby Jones!
I mean, anytime you got Arnold and Sinbad on screen, that was the highlight of the movie. Like, I know I've raved about the job Phil Hartman did, Ted the Neighbor, and I think he plays that role perfectly, but it's like a small role. When Sinbad and Schwarzenegger are together, even when they're trying to team up, and then they get into the fight, anytime you got Sinbad versus Arnold, it was working.
After a car snafu, Arnold gets a ride back to his house and sees Ted putting up the star on his tree. First is cookies, now this flagrant
behavior. And now he's going to start making moves on his wife.
Nasty. Howard is now going to get his payback by stealing the Turbo Man he bought for his son. In the process of his B&E, he has regret and is going to put the toy back.
What am I doing? Look at me. Stealing from a kid? I can do this. You're going to go back.
But he gets attacked by Ted's reindeer. All hell breaks loose. Howard starts a fire in Ted's house and is caught in the act mid-theft, and his wife has had it up to here with his lies and his broken promises. His wife and son plan on going to the parade without him, and now they're going to go with Ted and his son. When he has that revelation, man, this ain't the way. You are going in there to steal an action figure from an 8-9-year-old kid. And now you're going to give this to your son?
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that he had a change of heart quickly.
The epiphany moment shows that he's still, like, I think this scene does a really good job of portraying, and I don't know, what a lot of people go through. I'm going to do whatever it takes for my kid. And then you realize I'm doing some bad stuff.
To then take away from another kid.
Yeah, and I'm in the wrong. He like catches himself getting too close to it. And, you know, then all hell breaks loose with the fire and all those things. But he does have the epiphany, which shows, hey, he's still a person and he's trying to do what's right for his kid. But this is not the path.
No, not at all. And whenever, so him and his wife get into it, right?
Which is fair, by the way. He just committed some light felony work.
Whenever he's like, baby, let me explain. Bro, there's no way to explain.
No.
She 100% knew what you were in there to do. When she walks off and then Ted walks off and he looks at Arnold and says, you can't bench press your way out of this one.
Great line.
I died laughing. And Ted, he sees a wounded animal right here, and the next scene, he tries to go in for the kill. He's
By the way,
sick.
The next scene, when they're in the car, I will say, this is one of those scenes where, like, in 1996, it's probably like a little bit ha-ha. It's a little cringy, rapey energy from Ted in the car. He locks the doors. He's like, come on, we both want to. Okay, hold on. Now I feel uncomfortable with this whole thing.
Yeah, then he, like, grabs her hand, and you're like, yo, what's going on?
Yeah, I get what the movie was trying to do in a 96. It's not cringy, but in 2024, I'm like, what are we doing here? What's happening?
Yeah,
like,
what is this movie rated?
You this one from you were trying to get, like, you could have portrayed this scene by just leaning in for a kiss, not grabbing her head and get, oh, no, very cringy.
So Ted is dirty macking heavy on Liz, but she's not checking for his cornball self. In the middle of confronting Ted, Arnold once again runs into the cop who has been chasing him around town all day. Arnold ducks into a warehouse to evade the law, and they mistake him for the man who is set to play Turbo Man in the parade. I don't think that this will get enough credit for the kind of filmmaking device. The fact that this goes first person during this scene.
Great.
So, I mean, you clearly know he's about to be, like, you can tell something's going on, right?
But they hide the reveal of what he looks like, which I think is why it works.
So he is in the thing, and then he's talking to Booster because they have set Booster up the whole movie of, hey, you can take Booster, but nobody wants Booster. That's the sidekick. Nobody wants the sidekick. And then when you finally see, oh, he's Turbo Man, was a really good storytelling device.
It was fantastic. I also think it pays off the Booster thing, and Booster is funny in this scene. Hey, man, you're supposed to pick a kid. What are you talking? Like, he's smoking the cig before he puts the helmet on, like, he being the Booster. Like, I think Booster's character ended up being funny in this moment because they found such, like, a generic person in a costume trope to be Booster.
Now, as Turbo Man, he gets to pick one kid from the crowd to win a prize. He spots his son Jamie in the crowd and gives him the toy. Oh no, Dementor is coming to spoil the party and steal the toy. And after a chaotic scene, Turbo Man saves the day, but really Howard saves the day and comes through at the end. At the end of the movie, the cops are now coming to take Myron to jail, who was just acting as Dementor to steal the toy. The cops are coming to take Myron to jail, but the little man, Jamie, Howard's son, gives him the Turbo Man so he can give to his son because he has the real Turbo Man at home. And this concludes Jingle All the Way. If you were going to do the Turbo Man scene to end this, it had to be goofy. It had to be over the top, and you had to really bring this movie home. This movie really brings home the final 10 minutes where he becomes
Turbo Man.
Sinbad becomes the villain, and they have a really comedic fight battle to win the affection of Jamie, basically, or the toy.
Yeah, and you get Jamie at the end doing the same epiphany moment that Arnold had 10 minutes earlier, where Arnold goes, I'm not going to steal a kid's toy. Jamie has the moment where he's like, hey, my dad's Turbo Man. I got this cool moment with my dad being Turbo Man. That's good for me forever. And he does, like, the right thing, which is what happens in a lot of Christmas movies. They do the right thing at the end, and he hands Turbo Man to Sinbad. I will say, you mentioned a fight ensues. I don't know. I don't go a lot of parades. I'm not outside of, like, Super Bowl parades or whatever because of work. How many parades have active booster rockets and things of this nature where people are flying off, like, It's basically a jetpack on this man. It wasn't just a prop. You had him the availability to fly around. That seems like the worst possible outcome.
That man's suit was 100% fully functional.
Yes.
It would be like if you had Batman in a parade and then you gave him all of the Batman gadgets. Like, no, you're not. That's not how this is supposed to work.
I dressed as Batman for the parade. I'm supposed to wave to kids. I shot the Batarang and went to the top of a building. Wait, what? Why are you I'm playing around with the Batmobile and I hit the supersonic mode and I went 500 miles an hour. Like, what? He was a superhero for a few minutes. Just nonsensical.
This movie is not very popular on Rotten Tomatoes. Jingle All the Way has a 21% approval rating and an average rating of 4.4. The site's critical consensus: Arnold Schwarzenegger tries its best, but Jingle All the Way suffers from an uneven tone, shifting from wildly a would-be satire on materialism to an antic slapstick yuck fest. What a weird way to describe a movie about trying to get your 8-9-year-old kid a toy. Like, what are we doing here with
and
this?
Why was a comedic Christmas movie met with, like, poor, you know, reviews? I can't imagine that going to a kid's movie and having some humor would have been a loss for people in theaters. Like, when my parents took me, I was like 5-6 years old, around Christmas time, I can ask them. I don't remember them walking in the theater being like, too slapsticky of a nonsense comedy for me. People going to this movie were looking for Christmas joy, and this movie brought it.
Yeah, the critics are really hard on this movie. Neil Jeffries of Empire says, Arnold Schwarzenegger felt wooden, and Sinbad was, quote, trying to be desperately funnier than his hat. It also goes on from the New York Times. Janet Maslin felt like the film lacked any real plot and failed in its attempt at satire. It also said that Myron should have included his son, like Myron's son should have been in the movie.
A character, yeah, that's probably fair.
And also said that the movie wasted Phil Hartman's performance. Our guy Roger Ebert, he gave this movie 2.5 stars, saying, quote, he liked the movie and thought the movie had energy, but he also thought it relentlessly had a materialistic view of Christmas and choice to go with action and violence over dialogue and plot. I do think that this is a movie, and why I think the movie has held up so well is you understand this movie from both perspectives. You understand this movie as the kid who really wants the toy. You also understand this now as the adult who is the one trying to get the toy for the kid. You completely get it. And the action and violence of the movie, this is what 90s television was. It was Power Rangers. It was VR Troopers. The action and violence in this movie aren't really any different than the kind of content that kids were consuming in 1996.
Yeah, I don't know what the critics are looking for, because it is a comedic movie for both kids and adults that ends in a nice awe moment. I can name dozens of Christmas movies that way. Home Alone is that way. Now, Home Alone's done better. I'm not saying it's the same, but kids laugh at it, adults laugh at it, and it has the awe moment at the end. We can name Christmas movie after Christmas movie after Christmas movie that plays that exact same path. I don't get why this one did such a poor job in the eyes of critics.
What do you think this movie got right? It is one of your favorite movies. It is in your Christmas staple rotation. What do you think this movie has gotten right?
So I think it's what we talked about earlier, but I think you have to look at it through the lens of 1996. I think it gets right the struggle of finding the It toy up against the clock. Now, that doesn't work in 2024, and we've talked about that earlier in the podcast. But in 1996, if you wanted the, you know, whatever thing at Toys R Us, you have to be Phil Hartman's character. You got to get it on Thanksgiving. You got to get it at Black Friday. You got to get it that first week of December. You can't be out on Christmas Eve being like, I'm looking for the Tickle Me Elmo. You're going to get met with some are you kidding me moments. Now, this takes that to an extreme for some comedic effect, but that at its core in 1996 was extremely realistic, and it shows he was trying to do everything to cover for not being a great parent, and that also works. Like, I get it. Hey, I haven't been the best because I miss karate and I'm not there as much as I should be, but I'm going to get you the It toy and I'm going to win back, curry back some favor. That It at that level works.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the movie gets a lot right, honestly. I think the cast is very, very good. We talked about the four or five main characters of this movie. I think the plot of the movie, the vehicle to move this, and I mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast, at some point we all were Jamie. There was this one thing that you really wanted for Christmas. I would push back on the notion of this movie is materialistic. I think that Christmas is materialistic.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I know we want to say this is the reason for the season and the religious aspects to it. I'm not trying to deny
those exist, but materialism has become part of the Christmas thing.
100%. Part of Christmas is you go to the store, you buy things for other people, and then you give it to them. Like, it is materialistic at its core. I think that's an unfair criticism of this movie. I also don't really think that this movie is trying to communicate some greater message than anything. I think the movie is as straightforward as a movie that is directed towards families can be. I don't really think the movie needed to be much more complex than this. This is one of the few movies that I don't really have that much of a complaint on what the plot is. I think if you are trying to find a movie to sit down with your family and watch, I think this is one of the top five Christmas movies you can pick.
100% agree.
It's not the best movie you can pick.
Nope.
But there are, if you are sitting down with your 7-year-old, your 11-year-old, hell, your 15-year-old, and you are looking for a movie that everybody will enjoy, I think this is one of the absolute best movies that you can pick.
If you're the type of person, and I know people who do this, it's the, we try to do as many Christmas movies and as much Christmas stuff as we can with our kids leading into Christmas Day. So you've already seen Polar Express at that point. You've already seen, you know, Home Alone. You've already seen Elf. You know, the big ticket ones for a kid. If you're at movie 5, 6, or 7 for the season, which happens, your kid is not going to dislike this movie. You as an adult are not going to dislike this movie. And also, you said it's, what, 82 minutes long? So maybe if you watch it on TV, they push it to 2 hours because of commercials. But you can watch this in 90 minutes. Your kid has a good time. You get a little Christmas moment, hot cocoa and like some cookies. That's a great December 11th with your kid.
Yeah, this is a movie to me. You start at 6 or 6:30, and then by the time it's over, it's time to brush your teeth and get ready for bed. It's one of those kind of movies with the family. I think that you and I are going to be on the same page here. So Jingle All the Way got a 5.7 on IMDb.
Too low for this movie. I mean, I'm not saying like I'm going to look it up real
quick. How high would you go for this movie? Because that's the question. I would put this movie at a 6.2, 6.3.
I'm probably the same. I want to look up real quick what like the top kid movies are score wise, just to get like Polar Express. Polar Express is a very popular kids Christmas movie. It got a 6.6. Now, is Polar Express the it Christmas movie? No, but Polar Express is better than this. So I think this is probably 6.3, 6.4. Worse than Polar Express, which is the kids animated Christmas movie, but it's better than 5.7 or 5.6. So I would say 6.2, 6.3, 6.4, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm looking. I just did the quick search on it. The Santa Claus is a 6.6 on IMDb.
It's less than that.
But the Santa Claus to me is not a full one point higher than this movie.
I agree.
They are close. If you're going to tell me Santa Claus is better, sure, that's great. It's a 6.6. Then this should be like a 6.1, 6.2 along that metric. That's too big of a gap to me between those two movies. We've had these movies a couple of times. This is the biggest gap to me between how I think people our age see this movie, your ability to pass this movie down, and also the critics. I would guess if you went back and you showed those critics the movie now in a modern time, that movie has held up pretty well. Even the special effects at the end of the movie hold up pretty well for a kids movie that was based in the 90s. I don't have, honestly, too many criticisms of Jingle All the Way.
My biggest criticism is the fact that it made this podcast. Not that I didn't enjoy rewatching it, because I enjoyed myself, but it should not be below a 6. Like I said, it's not the Santa Claus. It's not Elf. It's not, those movies are better. But there is no reason you should think to yourself, hey, that movie is a full point and a half better than this. No. This is a fine Friday evening with the kiddo watch. It still works. I think critics may have been a little too hard on it. Maybe the fact that it did have a lot of star power and maybe doesn't live up to the star power, because Arnold would have been at the peak of his powers. You would have had Sinbad at the peak of his powers probably. It had a lot of star power and it doesn't hit that crescendo, but it's still good.
This was another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. I'm not sure if Rob is going to be back to this podcast for the rest of 2024. Rob, I think you're done here. We got one more Christmas movie. We're doing The Preacher's Wife next week. I have not seen that movie in a very, very long time.
I don't think I've ever seen The Preacher's Wife.
Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston are in that movie. Also, Courtney B. Vance is in that movie as well. So it's been a long time since I've seen that movie. I feel like you're taking the rest of the year off, and we are going to come back in January to give you guys a little bit of a heads up. Our first podcast in January is going to be Rocky V. We've been saving that Rocky V podcast.
I'll be back for Rocky V. I won't miss Rocky V. I will be hard on Rocky V because it's the worst Rocky, but I'll be there for Rocky V.
I cannot wait to do the Rocky V podcast. Happy holidays to you, man. Merry Christmas. Keep it right here on the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast.